Father. Let's pray while we're standing. If I could just make a plea as we stand, that we would all bow our heads and close our eyes. I know it's not a command in the Bible to bow our heads and to close our eyes, but I would like to present to you that by doing so, you will encounter less distractions. And be able to focus. Look in the face with the eye of faith. Without distraction, the one that you're speaking to. So let's pray. Yes, Father, we come before you this morning in the precious name of your Lord, your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, the Savior of all mankind, who is not willing that any should perish. Oh God, thank you that as you look down upon us here this morning, your heart's cry is that none would perish, but that all would come to the saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, be set free from sin, to walk in victory over sin, self, the flesh, and the devil. Father, we pray that you would, as Jude puts it, build us up in the most holy faith this morning. Father, would you increase our faith? Yes, Lord, we believe. Many of us here this morning, we believe. And we thank you for the gift of faith. But we say, even as did the disciples, Lord, increase our faith this morning. Father, to rise above any experience that we have had, any encounter that we've had with you. Father, we confess this morning that we know that we have not attained. We have not arrived. We are not yet perfect. Father, give us a heart even as the Apostle Paul had, not considering himself to have attained, but purposed in his heart to press on unto perfection, to press on. For the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Give us hearts like that this morning, God. Commit this time to you. Thank you, Father, for this time. We remember also that 8-year-old girl that we prayed for yesterday. Oh, Father, I haven't heard. I don't know how she's doing, but we just want to lift her up to your throne of grace again. Thinking also of that young child here in Ephrata. Oh, Father, be merciful. Oh, Father, be merciful. And would you set them free from their ailments? Again, we pray you give much grace for the parents to endure this time as they wait on you. And yes, Lord, if either or both are still in the hospital, we pray, bless the staff with much needed wisdom. Father, without your direction, your blessing, all is vain. All their efforts will do nothing. So we just pray for your blessing upon them. As you see, they have need. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Well, it's rather hard to believe it's Thursday morning. I'm already looking at it that I only have one more session left. Young people, if I would have tried to, or if I should try to express all of my heart here this week, in all honesty, I would have to say we need another week. Go back and pick it up again, because we are not nearly covering everything. But we trust that the Spirit of God is putting it in your hearts, and that you're getting at least the bulk of my heart this week, and that you will pursue it and discover all that we're not talking about for yourself this week. I want to clarify something here this morning. A young sister came to me and, you know, I've been asking you, did you read your Bible this morning? And the thought there is to raise the importance of being in the Word. Now, if you find yourself that the mornings don't work for you because you're at a week of Bible school, she came to me and she said, I haven't been raising my hand because I've been reading it in the evenings. You know, that's fine. The thought is to be in the Word. Okay, so don't let the thought of morning discourage you. So I just want to clarify that. But let me ask you again. How many of you had your personal quiet time, whether it was last night or this morning? God bless you for your honesty. It is of utmost importance. My dear young people, oh yeah, I don't know. I almost don't dare talk about it because we only have a little better than 50 minutes left. You soaking yourself in the Word of God will do more for you than sitting at a week of Bible school. Because I know with the subject that I have on my heart for us this morning, we're also just going to barely scratch the surface. But it ought to be a reality. What we're going to talk about this morning ought to be a reality of everyone that says he's committed to God. Or let me rephrase that. Might get myself in trouble. If you are committed to the Lord Jesus Christ, this will be a reality. Look at the picture here. Now, I didn't draw that. I'm not an artist. But take a good look at that picture and tell me if you have any idea what we're talking about this morning. So you got some mountains, you know, the hills, and you know, they're not all the same height. And this one looks pretty smooth. This one's got a few more bumps. This one's the peak. We've got a man standing up there. Yes! Yes! Praise God! Thank you, young ladies, that drew that for me. You did a good job! Being an overcomer. Now, I hope that thought doesn't overwhelm you. Overcomers? Do you know there will be no other people in the kingdom of God than those that overcome? Only overcomers will be in the kingdom of God. And we could spend all morning looking at verses to validify that statement. We're not going to take the time to do that, but I want you to have that thought all through the message. If I'm not an overcomer, and I expect to enter in, it's not going to happen. Overcoming sins, obstacles in our lives. Now let me just plug in a little side note there. When I'm talking about being an overcomer, I almost hesitate to say it because people use it as an excuse and as a license to not press on, to not persevere, to not strive. But when I'm talking about an overcomer, I'm not talking about 100% perfection. Lest you get overcharged this morning. But that thought is not an excuse to make light of the Christian life. The reality is the best of us, the strongest in Christ Jesus, the most heartily committed Christian, does come short of the glory of God from time to time. You older brethren back there, is that safe to say? But that's not an excuse. Young people. Oh, the thought, well, I'm still young. You know, young in age and young in the faith. And I guess this is just normal. I want to present us today, this morning, that it is not normal. It is not supposed to be the normal Christian experience. To have sin overcome us. Oh, before I forget, you see this barrel up here? We have been talking about the committed Christian life and what it looks like. And, you know, if you have things in your life that are taking away, don't necessarily have to be sinful things, but things that are taking you, sidetracking you from God. Things that are hindering you from where God is receiving glory from your life. Where God is not receiving honor from your life. Where it's taking away. It's that, you know, that table that we had up here yesterday. That we had the good food and we had the junk food. And you have some junk in your life and in your possessions that are hindering you, that are not holy, that are taking away from living a holy life for the Lord Jesus. This barrel is here so that you can throw that stuff in. And we will help you make practical applications. Young people, bring it in. Bring it in here. Throw it in here. Saturday, during testimony time, you can give testimony of what you put in here. And for those of us that have been traveling, if you don't have it with you here, write it down on a piece of paper. Share what's on that piece of paper. Throw it in here and then go home and get rid of it. It is time that Christianity goes back and lives out the Sermon on the Mount. If your right hand, if your eye, if your foot, if anything hinders you, cut it off. Young men and young ladies, but maybe more so young men, I will be brave enough to say for some of you, I'd like to say all of you, but I'm not going to. It'd be safer for all of you. Cut off the internet, off of your phone, if you have it on your phone. If you have the internet on your phone, okay, and I'm not making a rule here, but I am implying something. You are walking with a trap on your side. And at the weakest moment, and the devil is clever. At the weakest moment, you may not even be looking for it. It'll pop up. Internet browsing is
A deadly trap, young people. Now I know there's good filters that you can put on there, but I've also learned, I'm not there, but I know this just from hearing, there's people that are smarter than the people that built these filters, and you young people are much smarter with technology than I am. And so you find ways to get around it. Yesterday we made mention of, you know, if you're living a holy life, you would have no problem with anyone checking your history. But young people, I know that some of you have the knowledge to know how to get into the history so that no one can find the history. I don't know how to do that. That's plain deception. Whatever is hindering you, whatever is taking away from a true commitment to Jesus Christ, throw it in there. And we'll be happy to discard it. We can't have a fire in town here. I checked with Brother Mose. There's a burning by law. Or else we'd have it. It's beautiful to stand around a barrel full of trash that's burning. Okay, so that barrel will be here for the rest of the week. Give it prayerful thought. Don't just write it off. And don't just lightly throw something in there. Think about it. Because if your heart is not to let it go, but you're going to do it because it's an opportunity to show and look pious, hypocrisy, you're going to leave here and you're going to pick the thing up again. So save yourself the money. This barrel is here for the serious ones. I hope I'm not coming down too hard on you. Let's be real. Young people, that's my heart this week, that we would be real Christians. We would not be in the camp of those that say, "Lord, Lord, did we not?" and hear those awful words. I never knew you. Overcoming sins. Turn with me in your Bibles for a scripture reading to the book of Ephesians. And by the way, I noticed that when we were dismissed by the book of the New Testament, a lot of you got up when the book of Ephesians came up. And it's one of my well-liked books. Like I said, I have a hard time narrowing it down to say which one's my favorite. But the book of Ephesians, the epistle to the church at Ephesus, is a very encouraging epistle. And it paints a beautiful picture of the glorious position that the child of God has. Beautiful. But sadly, so sad, many claim that standing, that position, without reality in their lives. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. So, please note whom he is writing to. He is writing to a group of people that would have had the same profession as what you have. Christians. Okay, he's not addressing unbelievers. He is writing to, he says, the faithful in Christ Jesus. He says, the saints which are at Ephesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. That is a life full. Isn't it? To be blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. That is a life full.
according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. Chosen us for what? Listen. That we should be holy. Holy. What was holiness? Someone want to tell me? What's holiness? Separated unto God. Untainted by the world. Right? Separated. God has chosen us before the foundation of the world already. He has predestinated us for this very purpose. That we should be holy, without blame, before Him in love. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption. What's redemption? Being bought back. So if you have been redeemed from your sins, does that mean you're going to continue in those sins? No, you've been redeemed. You've been purchased by His blood, the blood of Christ. You have the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. Now we could spend all morning talking about these verses. But young people, I'm using that scripture as an opening thought to what the Christian life is. Holy, unblameable, forgiven of sins. Beautiful, isn't it? Redeemed. Redeemed. Purchased. No longer our own. We're now His property. Overcoming sin. Young people, reflect over your life. And let me ask you this question. What is your personal experience and testimony this morning? Honestly. Are you overcoming sin, or is sin overcoming you? My dear young people, it will be one way or the other. Either you are overcoming sin, and if you are not overcoming sin, then sin will overcome you. You can't play with fire and not be burnt. We sometimes like to think we can. We think somehow we have the wisdom to know how to do it. We can play with fire and not get hurt by it. Young people, it is a deception and a lie of the devil. There's a saying that says that sin will take you further than you want to go. That is a very true statement. How many of you have experienced the truth of that?
You know, I'm just going to give in just a little bit. I'm not going to go very far. You know, let's go back to the internet browsing. Oh, I'm not going to get into anything really bad. I'm just going to see a little bit what it's like. That's how it works. One step, another step, another step. Slowly He lures us in until He's got us. You can't play with fire and not be burnt. It could well be that there's someone sitting here this morning and saying, I'm doing it. It's not affecting me. You're deceived. You're not seeing it that it's affecting you. Oh, I can listen to whatever music I want to listen to. Doesn't matter. Paul wrote a very strong statement to the church at Thessalonica. He said, abstain from all appearance of evil. Evil communications corrupts good manners. Oh, we don't think so nowadays. We think we've risen above that. We haven't. You surround yourself with people that are foul mouths, foul language, bad tempered, all of these sinful things of man, it will rub off on you. There's a power, an unseen power, an influence that we don't see with the eye until it has us. I will give you just a short testimony of mine. I worked with some people in a secular setting. It's before I was married. And I had a love for the Lord Jesus. And I had a hatred for foul language because, as I said yesterday, I had a very foul mouth. And I would speak out against these people. People that would just swear left and right and center. I would confront them. And even as I was fighting against it in the workforce, young people, listen. When all was quiet at the end of the day and I lay down on my bed, and as I reflected on the day, in my mind, I was hearing that foul stuff. Foul language. And I said, God, I don't want it! Their evil communication was corrupting my mind. Time came. I said, I've got to leave here. Young people, don't forfeit your soul to the foul of someone else. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Let's not deceive ourselves. What you think about, what you fill your mind with, whether it's watching or listening, will affect you and shape you and mold you. Why do you think that I was a violent fighter in my young days? Because that's what I filled myself with. I wasn't acting like someone or something that I had never seen. I was living, I was acting that which I filled my mind with. Very, very important. I'm going to say something here, and I'm not sure why I'm saying it, but I'm a little bit afraid of what some of you did with your free evening last night. I don't know. I haven't heard. And I don't know how long the bookstores are open over here. We didn't go out. But you have what is called Christian bookstores here that have
non-Christian, ungodly stuff in them. Maybe some of you sit here and you look at that barrel and say, oh, I really think this ought to go in there, but I just bought it. What will you give in exchange for your soul? So what if you just bought it? Get rid of it before you get even more attached. Are you overcoming sin, or is sin overcoming you? There's many professing Christians that carry the thought that I was born a sinner and I will always be a sinner. What is your frame of thinking? What is your mindset, dear young people? In your mind, are you born a sinner and will always be a sinner, or are you a saint of God? Well, it doesn't really matter, does it? Yes, it does. It makes a difference. I will dare to say that most people that have carried this mindset, not all, because you can carry that mindset in the right way also, I believe. But the concept almost is that I was born a sinner and always will be a sinner, and therefore we excuse sin because I was born a sinner. When Christ comes in, you become a saint. And you ought to live like a saint. What's a saint? Someone set apart. Untainted by the world. A saint living above sin. Conquering challenges? Oh yes, you will have challenges. Trials? Oh yes, you will have trials. Plenty of them. You don't even need to bring your own music in to add to it. They will come to you. Even as you purpose in your heart to live a 100% holy life. The devil knows how to bring enough things our way. We don't need to add to it. It's a dangerous mindset to think I was born a sinner, and I'll always be one. If you're thinking that way this morning, I encourage you to renew your mind and start thinking in terms of being a saint of God. That is, if indeed you have been born again and you have the Spirit of God within you. And there's no question whether you have the Spirit of God or not. He's not left you in the dark. Yesterday, I shared with you how the Spirit of God took me from this music to this music to this music. That's just one area, one example. But that's how the Spirit of God works. You know if you have the Spirit of God. You're not left to wonder, I wonder if I... No! The Spirit of God is God. And He takes up residence inside the believer. He's very active, very alive, desiring holiness out of each one of us. We need to have a proper view of God. We need to have a proper view of this doctrine of overcoming sin. Again, I'm not talking about sinless perfection in the sense that we know it, where it causes us to lie if we do come short of the glory of God. And we can't admit or up to the fact that we actually slipped, if you will. But perfection, striving for perfection, is a part of being committed to Jesus Christ. It has to be. A proper view of God, a proper view of the doctrine of overcoming sin, If we don't believe that we can overcome sin, we are guilty, young people, of downsizing God just a little bit lower than me and my circumstances. Young people, I think this is a sin, a tremendous sin. Christian after Christian after Christian is guilty of it. Oh, I can't have victory over this. I mean, I've got victory over this and this and this. But this one is just too big. This one is just a little bit, the peak is too high. I can't. You know what that tells me? That tells me that your view of God is too small. And you're saying that God is a little bit smaller than your problem. Pulling God down to the level of human beings and a little bit smaller than me and my problems. And therefore, I can't have victory. It's serious, young people. How we think, what our view is, makes a huge difference. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Oh, I just can't get victory over this one. You probably never will then. You probably won't. Beloved young people, Christ overcame the world with all its sin. Are you in Christ? Have you inherited all the spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus? What do you think of the words when Jesus hung on the cross? He said, "It is finished." Is it true? Or is it a lie? Is it true? Or is it a lie? Yes, it's true, beloved young people. It's true. It is finished. And so everyone that's in Christ Jesus is standing on the victor's side as we battle, as we fight temptations. We're on the winning side. You're not approaching the enemy and his tactics from a defeated side, but from the victor's side. Isn't that encouraging? The battle has been won. All we need to do is tap into the victor and stay and abide within him. I don't mean to come down hard on young people, but we have so much false thinking. And sin in our lives has become normal. And we get comfortable with sin in our lives. No Christian should be comfortable with sin in his life. It should cause us to not sleep at night. I took advantage of last night being a free evening. My character, my nature is that I like crowds like this. And as you haven't noticed, I stay here all day until you go to your prayer room. I like to mingle. I want to make myself available. If you have questions or whatever, if anything I say brings confusion, please ask. But last night was a free night. So I spent some time with the family. And then I went and started preparing. Everyone had gone to sleep. My point that I want to bring out to you is sin should make us uncomfortable. I want to use my youngest daughter. We're all sleeping in the same room. They're laying on the floor and there's a baseboard heater right there on the floor. And she's laying there and I just lay down. And I was tired and she keeps banging into this thing and it's making this rattling sound. And then she'd start gibbering in her sleep a little bit. And I laid there, as tired as I was, I think for 2 hours, not sleeping because my mind was so full for one.
And not knowing, okay, Lord, where do we go with this huge subject tomorrow morning? And now I'm hearing all this and I'm laying there and I'm tossing and I'm rolling and I couldn't sleep. Young people, that's what sin should do to us. Cause us to roll around and so finally we get on our knees. Confess it. Repent of it. Be washed. And you'll find you can sleep just fine. We are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? I know there's some of you sitting here, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Praise God. And I trust that those of you that are sitting here and you can identify with what I'm saying, hey, I just trust that you're being encouraged to keep going. And take heed lest we fall. Listen to this. If God be for you, who can be against you? Now, I've oftentimes answered that question by saying the whole world can be against you. But the whole world is much smaller than God. The question there implies who's bigger? What's bigger? God or life circumstances? If God be for you, who can be against you and overtake you? In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 20, verse 4, you can turn there if you like. There's one very encouraging word there. Now, this is in the context of the Old Testament, so this is in the context of physical contact, physical war. It says in verse 4, "For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you." Talking, referring to the children of Israel, God's chosen people. "The Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies." Why? Look at those last three words. "To save you." Young people, I want you to consider that. Yes, that was an actual war. It was talking about physical contact there. Is Christ anything less to the child of God today? The very God that sent His Son Jesus, who was God in the flesh, He has not forsaken us. That's why we have the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit of God lives with us. So God is going with us even as God went with the children of Israel when they face a battle. And He goes with us for one purpose. To save us. To save us. Now does that not give you a picture of overcoming, of conquering? We know children of Israel didn't always have God with them. And it led to utter defeat. Oh, too many Christians. Too many. They fight this thing of sin, this battle of sin, merely in the flesh. And they say, "I can't get victory. I can't get victory." Listen to the words of the psalmist here in Psalms 44. "Through thee will we push down our enemies. Through thy name will we tread them under that rise up against us." Not on their own,
but through God. Through God, they would push down. They would conquer their enemies. In the name of God, they will conquer, tread under all those that rise up against them, all their enemies. For I will not trust in my bow, neither shall my sword save me. Do you think they dropped the bow? Do you think that he dropped the sword? Who thinks he did? Why not? I mean, he just said his trust was in God, not in his bow, not in his sword. Verse 7, but thou hast saved us from our enemies and hast put them to shame that hated us. In God we boast all the day long and praise thy name forever. Selah. Again, we could say much, much, much on these few verses. But young people, the thought I want to give you is, yes, he proclaimed that through God, in his name, they would conquer their enemies. They would tread them under their feet. He would not trust his bow. He would not trust his sword. Young people, he did not put down his bow and sword though. We live in a day and an age where it's been so spiritualized, this battle that we're fighting, that it's Jesus Christ and him alone, that even if I take the Word of God and apply myself to reading the Word of God, it's of works. Young people, that is a lie. God has won the battle. Yes. And in him we are conquerors. When in him we can overcome every enemy, every sin. But we must not put down our weapons. And we must apply ourselves, trusting by faith that the victory is in God. It's not in me taking the time and reading and praying. It's not in that. But we have to engage ourselves. This is the sword of the Spirit, is it not? This is the eternal Word of God, is it not? We can't afford to put down our weapons. Don't be afraid to engage, young people. You're engaging because you have a victor. And he is fighting for you as you engage. Can I say it? That there will probably be, I'll just say, hardly ever will you experience a victory in your life unless you're willing to engage. All this super spiritualism. Oh, voila, I have my position in Christ. And we do. As long as we remain engaged and active. Christ has won the battles. Christ has overcome the world and its sin and the devil. And we can overcome him. We must overcome him if we expect to spend eternity with him. But we dare not put down our bow and our sword. We fight by faith from the victor's side, trusting in him. Young people, as you face your trials and temptations, get up. I've told some young people, okay, if you're facing young men, especially as you lie upon your bed, and a temptation comes your way regarding your moral purity. I've told young men, if the temptation comes and you get on your knees
and pray and it doesn't go away, get up out of that room. Don't stay there. Get up. Go away from the scene. Put yourself among some people if at all possible. And we had a young man living with us. I said, I don't care if it's 2 o'clock in the morning. If you're facing a battle like this and you're just not, it's not leaving, I says, come and wake me up and I'll fight with you. Don't be afraid to engage lest it become of works. That's a common thought among young people today, I'm finding. Acquaint yourself with the God of heaven. Battle by faith, claiming the promises of God. The victory is yours. Just engage. Apply yourself. We, as human beings, don't have what it takes, but God does. Mark it down, young people. Don't ever become so spiritual that you think the battle, the victory, is in you. You and I are no match for the devil. But the devil is no match for God. Mark it down. You and I are no match for the devil, but the devil is no match for God. So stay in Christ. Abide in Him. The victory is yours. The victory has been won. You must overcome. You must. Don't ever get comfortable with one besetting sin. There is victory. There is victory. I recently read an article of a man who's out of Washington, D.C. He was now a member of a cult. And the reason he was in the cult was because he had tried the Christian life. And it didn't work for him. So he left the Christian life, if you will, and went and joined himself to a cult. I know of young people that have thrown in the towel because they tried and they tried and they tried and finally they just got tired of trying. Doesn't have to be that way. We are called to walk by faith, not by sight. Oh, the mountain may look very tall, almost impossible to climb, to reach the peak. But young people, take one step at a time. You can make it. The grace of God is sufficient. Don't despair. If you have to battle and fight all your life, it'll be worth it. You will never regret being engaged, fighting the enemy. The enemy doesn't get tired of fighting us. He's much older than we are. So let's use our short life that we have to fight against him. You will find that if you engage yourself in faith, claiming, standing on the promises of God, doing, being practical, getting radical, cutting off those things that harm you, that hurt you, that mislead you, that take away from godliness. If you take those practical steps, you will find there is victory over sin. And the Christian life is not one of fighting and fighting and fighting and fighting with no joy. Jesus Christ came that we may have joy and that our joy would be full.
There's joy in the Christian life. It's not just all battling. But there's plenty of trials and temptations that come our way. Consider the Great Commission. You know, is it the heart of Christ? I mean, we use the Old Testament illustration of war, but is it the heart of Christ? I mean, actually Christ, not the apostles, not the disciples, but Christ Himself. Is it His heart that we should live above sin? Jesus gives a great commission. He says, go and make disciples of all nations and baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And then He says, has this little clause there in the end that says that, and teaching them all things that I have commanded you. Do you think in the all things that Christ taught His disciples was this thing of conquering sin? Well, turn with me to Mark 14. Let's quickly look up a couple of references here. Mark 14:38. Listen to these words. Jesus speaking, watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready. But the flesh is weak. Why does He encourage them and us to watch and pray? So that we might avoid falling, giving way to temptation? Or that we would overcome the temptation? What's the heart of Christ there?
To overcome.
Watch and pray. Actively engaged. Turn over to the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 10. Verse 19. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Has God given you power? Is that your experience? The power of God, as you engage, you can, so to speak, overcome scorpions in your lives. Over all the powers of the enemy, Jesus says. Young people, that power is there for us. The Spirit of God is living inside of you. You have all power within you. Just engage so that the power of God will be engaged. John 16. Verse 33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Now, I don't know how you interpret that. I don't know if you interpret that as being a bit of a hard saying that Jesus gave His disciples there. You know, this is right in that portion of Scripture that I had told you on Monday was part of Jesus preparing His disciples for His departure. But here He says, I've told you all these things, and we could go back and see what He's all said. And I'd encourage you to do that. But he says, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. Young people, that's been my experience. That is my experience. Even as I'm battling, there's a peace within my soul. As we engage, we have peace with God. There's a joy there, even though we're battling. Jesus goes on, he says something very cruel to his disciples in getting them ready for his departure. He says, in this world, you're going to have trials and tribulation. You're going to have enemies. You're going to have to fight. We're still in that same world. And it hasn't gotten better. And it will not get better, young people. Prepare yourself for the worst. In regards to this thought, and I need to close here. We didn't even get through our first page of notes. And this thought of pre-trib, mid-trib, and all of that. You know, Brother Moses talking about the signs of the times. And if you are one that finds yourself not really interested in these things, I'm going to tell you what I've told other people. Prepare yourself to go through the tribulation. That's the safest approach. Safest approach. Don't go sailing through this life thinking, oh no, Jesus is going to come and rapture me out before the tribulation hits. Don't think that way. That's setting yourself up for a fall. That's not the overcomer's mentality. The overcomer's mentality is, I'm going to go through that tribulation with Jesus Christ. And I'm going to come out a victor. Because all things are possible with Him. There's no trial, no temptation that's unique to you. We can identify with it. The Lord Jesus can identify with it. There's no such thing as a unique to you trial. Through Jesus Christ, you are more than able to conquer, to be victorious, because He was victorious. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen? Do you believe that? God bless you.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Effort of Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Ephrata, Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.